This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. And coming today, we'll hear from Capitol Bureau Chief Mark Ballard of the Advocate on the home stretch of the regular session, what's going to happen in the next few weeks as lawmakers try to shut down the session a bit early and get to business on the fiscal cliff and the budget. Also, some issues permeating that are of interest. Will Louisiana join 48 other states and require a unanimous verdict for felony trials? Also, Kevin Fry, WAFB Capitol reporter, he's leaving Baton Rouge to go to Washington, and he'll talk about his experience in Baton Rouge over the last 2 years covering the Capitol. And we'll hear from Fred Rosenfeld, the president of the New Orleans Jazz. Remember the team that came to Louisiana 44 years ago? And it was Fred Rosenfeld who returned Pistol Pete Maravich to Louisiana. Now the news on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster, and welcome to Talk Louisiana. Your number for the show is 877-217-5757, and you can always send an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. And this is a big day for the WRKF family. It should be the final day of the Spring Member Fest. I'm told it will be, and we'd like to hear from you. Your support is essential, and this is the final opportunity of the Spring Member Fest to show your support, but we welcome it at any time, and you can always go to wrkf.org 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. But we'd like to hear from you today. We're a few thousand dollars away from where we'd like to be, and if you support this station and appreciate the programming this hour, this is a good time to call. 855-893-9753, 855-893-9753. And we're joined at the start by Mark Ballard, the Capitol Bureau Chief for the Advocate. He's busy at the Capitol. His lawmakers appear to be coming down the home stretch of the regular legislative session, but there's still much work to be done. And Mark, how's it looking at the Capitol as we speak?
Well, they seem to be working very hard, passing lots of bills, but and moving them through the process. But in truth, they haven't actually gotten all of the very many of the bills all the way through the process, you know, having them, you know, approved on both sides. And so I'm seeing, you know, next week and the week after that is going to be, you know, long, long days.
Well, the budget, of course, is going to be the focal point very soon, if it isn't already. But lawmakers, as they usually do, they get involved in some other matters. And this one is important, and it's a bit of a surprise that it hasn't come up before now. But 48 other states require a unanimous verdict in felony trials. Louisiana and Oregon are the only exceptions. And in Louisiana, it only takes 10 out of 12 jurors to render a verdict of guilty, and some of these people are in jail for life based on a non-unanimous verdict that was reached by their respective juries. This one has gotten a lot of attention and is moving through the process. What do you think, Mark?
I think this is going to pass. District attorneys, the prosecutors, have taken no position on it because there's a handful of them that would like to keep the 10-2, it makes it easier for them. And others that say, you know, no, let's go like what the rest of the country is doing with unanimous verdicts on these major felonies. It went through what was going to be its major hurdle yesterday at the Criminal Justice Administration of Criminal Justice Committee in the House. That was where everybody was kind of focusing on whether it was going to make it or not. And it passed through really without a vote. And so it's I'm thinking that there'll be much talk about it on the House floor, but that it'll pass through.
Ed Tarpley, the former DA of Grant Parish, was before the committee yesterday and says it's a precious right. The jury stands between the people and the government. It's the unanimous jury of 12 citizens that makes a decision about whether to deprive someone of their liberty. It's a powerful protection we have in our government. You have a front-page story today, Mark, about the governor eyeing more changes to the so-called tax break program, the industrial tax exemption. What's going on here?
Well, this has been going on for some time now. He basically kind of, he being the governor, stepped in and took the rudder of a program that had had very little oversight for the last, 80 years, and basically said, using his ability to issue executive orders, had changed the program requiring the local governments for the first time ever to have some say-so in whether or not the state can give away the local property taxes. Also, ensuring that there was that these companies that got this this tax breaks actually were producing jobs, and in doing that, I mean, they've done an awful lot of things very fast, you know, and so they're just trying to kind of sort out the I'll say chaos, but Don Pearson will, who is the secretary of LED, will correct me on that. But there was a lot of chaos around it. Primarily with parishes that didn't quite do this on a regular basis, you know, not knowing quite way to go. The timelines were all askew. And so what this is trying to do is to set up a streamlined process so that everybody knows what everybody's supposed to be doing and that in the end, this is what you'll get and this is how it's going to work. And they're looking at trying to get these rules, their proposals right now. The rules are going through a vetting process, and they're hoping to have a vote on it sometime in June, and that the rules will go into effect sometime in August.
And there's some big money involved here.
Massive amounts of money involved. They basically, the idea is that they forgive property taxes, which are based on what the value of the assets are. And it's money that the parishes need for, you know, to pay their cops, to fix their roads, to supplement their public schools. And it basically, the ITEP allows them to do for about 10 years without being able to collect these taxes.
You also have another story, Mark, covering many matters. The lawmakers have agreed to get into a local fight here, forwarding a measure asking the state to audit BREC, the agency that oversees the zoo and parks in East Baton Rouge Parish. What's happening here?
Well, it's a resolution, so all they are doing really is they're going to urge and request the legislative auditor to do a deep dive audit into BREC's finances and programs. And as we saw yesterday, usually these resolutions pass through without any conversation whatsoever, but this time they had a lot of conversation saying, well, you know, why do we as a state want to wade into what's basically a local fight? I mean, in the end, the resolution is now going to the House, but what's happening here, I think, is that these legislators are trying, the local legislators are trying to bring the state into what is essentially a local fight.
This one will be fascinating, and this could be a bruising fight. It has been, as we know, a very contentious debate about whether the zoo should move, and now there's some other issues. We'll see what happens. What's this about LSU starting classes at 10 o'clock, no classes before 10 a.m.?
Well, again, this is a resolution, and so it'll be like they are going to urge it. It was just, you know, part of an overall bill of saying, what are we going to do to study and kind of find out what are we going to do about the traffic in Baton Rouge, which is, I don't have to tell anybody, for a mid-sized city, is pretty horrendous. And that was one of the ideas, but boy, it got picked up on. And a lot of students going, you know, I think a lot of students probably wouldn't mind having classes start at 10. You remember back in the day when we had to get there at 8 a.m. was pretty horrific in and of itself, traffic be gone. But had a lot of students going, you know, why are you messing with the class times when you should really be putting money into expanding and improving the road system?
And yesterday, a bit of a surprise, and it's front page news, Tom Shedler went before a committee along with some of his aides, and the subject was one that is a bit uncomfortable for the Secretary of State right now. It's about sexual harassment. What happened here?
Well, every 4 years, each of the agencies have to come before the legislature and kind of be renewed. I mean, it's called a sunset here, and they basically go over what have you done and what are you doing and what are you going to be doing. The big issue, the elephant in the room, if you will, was the fact that Tom Shedler has been accused in court documents of sexually harassing one of his employees for many years. And there was discussions about it without ever mentioning that he had been the target of is the target of a court litigation over this particular issue. And so it was there was a careful dance of talking about what are you going to do about sexual harassment issues within the Secretary of State's office without actually mentioning that that he was the target.
But he did show up.
He did show up, but then, you know, they generally are expected, the heads of these agencies, to show up for their sunset hearings.
Well, it was interesting that the chairwoman, Karen Carter Peterson, is also chair of the Democratic Party in Louisiana. She had a chance to pounce on Tom Shedler and chose not to do so.
And yet, I mean, if you like drama, I mean, this was a very subtle type of drama because it certainly was, they talked all around it. Or she did, talked all around it, and without directly addressing it. And she did not pounce on him, but she, you know, nipped away at the sides.
Nipped away at the sides. But Tom Shedler, he showed some brass by showing up, and he actually talked a bit and said he agreed there should be a uniform policy. So he didn't run and hide, and I think he used to be commended for that. Thank you, Mark Ballard. It's always a pleasure. We'll be calling on you next week.
Okie doke.
See you
Appreciate
soon.
It.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And coming next, we have Kevin Fry, who's been covering the Capitol, but now he's heading to Washington, D.C. He's hightailing it from Baton Rouge, and we'll talk with him about what's going on in his life. And remember, this is the last day for the Spring Member Fest, 855-893-9753. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us. 877-217-5757 is your number. And if you're dialing locally in Baton Rouge, 297-5633, and please send us an email if you so choose to talk@talklouisiana.org. And please contribute, if you've not done so, to the well-being of WRKF, this great entity in our community now for over 38 years, 855-893-9753. That's 855-893-9753. Kevin Fry is with us. He's been Capitol reporter at WAFB for the last couple of years and a weekend anchor. And at the age of 24, he took this town by storm. And now he is leaving Baton Rouge. Yesterday was your last day officially.
My last day on air at WAFB, and it was a bit bittersweet to say.
Well, yeah. And Kevin is a young man in a hurry, and he's going back to Washington, D.C., where you have worked before.
Well, worked is maybe a generous term. I was, working in college, if you will. I went to George Washington University for 4 years before I moved here, and I couldn't have landed a better spot. I learned a heck of a lot over the past 3 years.
I understand George Washington University, which is a great school, is one of the most expensive universities on the planet.
It is, and the only way I got through there, financially speaking...
There was no tops.
No, there is no tops. The only way I got through there, financially speaking, is I got a music scholarship for voice, so that paid a bunch of my dues and got me involved in music stuff, so it kind of kept that part of my life alive, too, which was nice.
What is the tuition there?
Oh, God, I don't remember. It's all I know is I will be paying it off for many more years.
Like $50,000 a year?
Somewhere in that ballpark, yeah.
Isn't that something? So you pay to go to a great university in a great city, and there is this electricity in the Beltway, and some people get Potomac fever. We've seen it with our officials. They go to Washington, they never come back.
Right.
Even when they leave office, they end up being lobbyists in Washington. Right. They love the place. What is it that's so attractive about the Beltway when we hear about all this corruption and crime that's supposedly going on and yet people can't stay away from it?
Well, power is intoxicating, is it not? I think for some folks it is that. I think there is a culture there that is, of course, for some people very wonderful. I mean, I enjoyed the diversity of the community and the great food options and just the I loved being in the city when I was there.
But we have
school.
That here.
This is true. This is very, very true. But I don't know. My long-term goal has always been to cover national politics, to cover national stories, and so this is kind of a stepping stone in that direction.
And you'll be doing that.
And I will be doing that. I'll be working for a small cable outlet covering Congress for one of the states that they have stations in. And forgive me, getting over a cold here. And so I will be able to kind of do some local stories, but also have a national twist on them. So it'll be a nice combination of things.
You mentioned your musical training. I know they'll miss you at the Gridiron Show. You're the only person who can really sing.
I wouldn't say that.
Sing well.
Okay, fine.
Most of them are like me, and that's not so good.
Well,
Kevin's got a trained voice.
I do have a trained voice, and that was part of the music scholarship in college, is that I got some voice lessons, which was wonderful. But, yeah, I will miss the Gridiron folks. I will miss the folks on Press Row immensely. They are some wonderful people. It's a small but mighty group, and I learned a lot from watching them every single day. And being around them, I think, just made me a much better reporter, much more skilled at asking questions mm-hmm. and knowing what to do and how to approach different things.
And one of your first jobs was working here at WAFB, I guess first full-time
job. This is my first job out of college.
First full-time job out of college, and this is one of the top-rated stations in America. So
top CBS affiliate, or yeah. second or first top CBS
as
affiliate
far as
in terms
ratings,
of market share. Yeah.
Market share, yeah. So it was a great place to start, and you took advantage of the opportunity.
It's been a wild 3 years. I mean, as we all know, and just in this community, from the worst, they always say that a good news community often it means that they've been hit by a lot of tragedy, and unfortunately, Baton Rouge has faced a fair degree of adversity over the past 3 years, from the floods to the shootings to the protests. But it has been really extraordinary to watch this community make it through all of that and come out, I think, stronger. And it has also been just an incredible time politically speaking. I believe I covered 8 sessions, which, you know, typically in that time period you just cover 3, maybe.
So you actually came in with John Bell Edwards.
I arrived in June of 2015, so it was the very tail end of the gubernatorial campaign and race, and then I took over the Capitol coverage around the time that the governor got sworn in.
So it's been about 2.5 years at the Capitol and almost 3 years in Baton Rouge, right out of college, and you graduated at a young age, too. You didn't go on the 6-year plan.
No. I did my 4 years and was done. When you go to school at GW, and it's that expensive, you can't afford to go beyond the 4-year plan.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is it that you think you'll remember most about your experience here?
I mean, I would be hard-pressed to not say the time at the Capitol. My plan is to go there this afternoon and just say goodbye to a few folks and show my parents around because they haven't seen it. But I lived in that basement and that little cubby hole that I did all my work in, and I loved working with the folks there. And it's just an extraordinary group of people. There is something about the politics at the state capitol that is so raw and authentic and wonderful in that sense. And I think I might miss a little bit of that in D.C., where everything seems a little mm-hmm. rehearsed and practiced and prepared, more so than more spontaneous and sometimes exciting in that sense. Not that it's not certainly a lot of exciting politics in D.C. right now.
Yeah, you're moving to Trump world, and things are a bit interesting there.
Well, and the goal is, at least what I've been told in this new job, is to not just chase Trump's tweet of the morning, but to focus on Congress and see exactly what they're doing. Because they are doing things that just doesn't get a lot of national coverage, because the White House is kind of an all-consuming mm-hmm. entity right now. And so it will be kind of exciting to cover some different stories that maybe don't always get the attention they deserve.
Every day is an adventure with our president, and and things that he does get attention that are baffling considering everything that's going on. For example, brushing off the alleged dandruff of the French president, Emmanuel Macron, the other day. That got more news than anything he did all day.
Their relationship is quite interesting.
It is,
I
isn't it?
Say.
Hand-holding, kissing,
and,
a lot of kissing.
Because I read somewhere that Macron does not believe in Trumpism, but he certainly is courting Trump in the sense that they're trying to get along as best as they can, because I think he realizes it's the only way to get things done.
I don't really think he had dandruff on him.
No, probably not.
It was just Trump being Trump and getting the guy off guard. And Ali Baltazar, the intrepid producer, has found this tape from a few years ago with Trump being interviewed by none other than Larry King.
Huh.
And this is how he can get people off guard. Can we hear it, Allie? Let's go for it.
Do you mind if I sit back a little bit? Because
no.
Your breath is very bad. It really is. Has this ever been told to you before?
No.
Huh? Okay, then I won't bother.
Oh, my. That was to Larry King?
To Larry King.
I mean, that's one way to start an interview.
Yeah, and certainly. I'm sure he got in his head, too.
A little bit. That's enough to disorient you a tiny bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Fortunately, that's never happened to me.
Yeah, that would not be pleasant. But and Larry's probably still thinking about that. Maybe that's why he's no longer on the air. But laughter aside, this Trump world is going to be very interesting over the next few years. You're going to be covering Congress, and if the Democrats get control of the House, there may be impeachment proceedings.
If there is that blue wave, who knows where this is going. But yeah, there is that possibility of impeachment. Though, to me, it also seems that impeachment could also be a risky maneuver, because then you could instantly set up this partisan politics backlash again. And so it's sort of a double-edged sword, it seems.
And here in Baton Rouge, we live in what is for the most part, a blue city in a red sea. Louisiana is certainly solidly red. Donald Trump got more votes than anybody in the history of our state in the 2016 election. It's a fascinating place.
It certainly teaches you a lot about perspective, which is what I think I will take away a lot from here in Louisiana, is understanding people. And that's one of the great things about my job, and has been about my job, is I get to talk to people of all sorts of backgrounds. And so I think, whereas when you grow up, you don't necessarily always get to interact with everybody, but certainly being in a career where you are constantly talking to different people of different backgrounds from different strokes of life, it really opens your mind to how people view the world and what they think about the world, and it kind of, I think, gives you a better grounded sense of why perspectives exist.
You think you'll miss it?
I will. I definitely will. And it has been there have been tears that have been shed over people, over things. I'm very possessive of certain things, and I think the Capitol has been kind of my possession as of late, that I'm not inclined to give up, even though I need to. But I will miss the people. I will miss the it's just something that, coming from Pennsylvania, which is where I grew up, and then D.C., Mardi Gras is not a thing, at least I guess there is Washington Mardi Gras, which I've already told people I will be going. I will be dropping in, crashing that party if I can when I'm in D.C. But I don't know. There's just something about this place that has really tugged on my heartstrings, and I will miss it.
Well, Kevin Frey is going to be around for a long time, and he'll be with us for a few more minutes. And if you'd like to get in, 877-217-5757, and someday you'll probably be seeing a lot more of Kevin than we are now, and we see him a lot on WAFB, at least we did. But he'll be with us for a few more minutes, and we'll talk to him about his experiences over the last 3 years. Now the news on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Ali Baltazar is producing, and just a bit we'll hear from Fred Rosenfeld. He was the president of the New Orleans Jazz, team that preceded the Pelicans, who are in the playoffs and now have the Golden State Warriors awaiting them. But the Jazz came here 44 years ago, and it was Fred who brought Pistol Pete Maravich to town. But another segment with Kevin Frey, your number 877-217-5757. And if you've been thinking about donating and waiting for the right time, your time is now, because the spring campaign is ending today. With your help, we need $6,000 remaining to achieve our goal and fund your source for discovering the world. Your contribution by 7 o'clock today automatically enters you into a drawing for a Florida getaway, 4 nights at a Sandestin Beach Resort. And today only, when you donate $13 a month or more, you can choose the WRKF mug, from which I am drinking, plus the WRKF light bulb key ring as a thank you gift from 89.3.
I can endorse the mug. It's very nice.
Yeah, it is nice. It is nice. It has that shimmery glaze to it, you know, and a teal color. It looks nice. 855-893-9753 is your number for WRKF. 855-893-9753. And our number is 877-217-5757. Dan's next, but David in Atlanta. We start with you, David. You're on with Kevin Frey. Hi, David.
Hi, David.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'd like to ask your guest, what is your reaction or observation from the hypocrisy of the Fox News Channel on a couple of examples? When George Stephanopoulos did not disclose he contributed to the Clinton Foundation, Sean Hannity had his BVDs tied in a knot. Now we know Sean Hannity was receiving pro bono legal advice from President Trump's lawyer, you know, the guy who's going to plead the Fifth Amendment. And when a worker for Hillary pleaded the Fifth Amendment before a congressional committee, again, Fox News went ballistic. Now, I wonder if Fox News can go ballistic about the president having a lawyer who's taking the Fifth, who Trump himself said only guilty people take the Fifth.
All right. Kevin, you're going to be right there in the middle of all this. What will you say to Mr. Hannity if you have a chance to interview him?
You're getting me ready. This is exciting. I think there is – it's one of those things, if you will, that in whenever it's not your fault, then – well, if you can point the finger at someone else, it's always mm-hmm. easier than you have to point your finger at your own self. And if it's the other party or the other, side, then it's also easier to accuse them than it is to admit your own guilt. So I think in our own field, there is a discussion of what is journalism, what is not, what is commentary, but there also is a sense that you need to be upright and forward with things. I know in journalism school we talked about this, that if you have particular things that could interfere with your own coverage, it's certainly something that you have to be honest about and forward about. And I think Sean Hannity has a lot of questions to ask, or to be answered, rather. When it comes to these sorts of issues, including why he thinks it is not appropriate to disclose this sort of thing, even if he's just talking with him, that nonetheless is a conversation that's going on behind the scenes that is putting him straight in the middle of all of this.
Mm-hmm. Well, ratings often trump everything else.
This is true.
And Hannity will get the benefit of the doubt, I'm sure, by Fox, as did Bill O'Reilly for many years. But truth be told, even though technically Sean Hannity is a journalist, he's more of an entertainer than he is a journalist. And when that is taken in context, he's providing the conservative flock largely what they want to hear. And there is a liberal alternative that
right.
Some people point fingers at as well.
And I think the argument here is that the argument from companies like that is that, well, you can obviously tell what is commentary and what is not. Unfortunately, when you have the word news blazoned on the screen, it's a little more difficult for a layman who is just tuning into a station to say, mm-hmm. what's going on here? And so I think there needs to be – it's hard to silo this sort of stuff, but there needs to be a more distinctive differentiation between the two.
I think this guy Shepard Smith's done a very good job.
He's a very, very good guy over there and does a very
from Ole
nice
Miss. From Ole Miss, imagine that.
Right.
But he's done and you know he's getting some pushback, but he criticizes the president when he feels it's warranted, and there aren't many on that particular channel who do that, and he does, and we'll see how long he stays.
Right.
Dan downtown. Dan, you're on the air with Kevin Fry. Hi, Dan.
Hello, Dan.
Hi. As a fellow GW grad, I just wanted to thank him for his great coverage at the Capitol and wish him well going to the D.C. swamp.
Thank you, Dan. Yes, GW is a wonderful place, and I loved every minute of my 4 years there. Once I kind of got adjusted, it was great. Absolutely loved
it.
Yeah,
I didn't know. I knew Dan went to Tulane. You went to GW as well?
Yeah, when I got out of Air Force JAG, I used my GI benefits and went
Fantastic.
Back and got a master's in labor law.
Very, very good.
Very good. And a listener, Elise, notes that GWU is also the alma mater of one Kerry Washington, the star of Scandal. I didn't know this.
It is true. And it was not my year, but 1 or 2 years, I think it was 2 years before I graduated, she was our commencement speaker. So, she did a very, very nice speech, told stories about her theater days where she apparently played a frog in one of the productions.
And you were in the same theater.
I did some
stage, I'm sure, that Kerry Washington was on.
Yes, I did. I did a little dabbling on that same stage. That is true.
Okay, 877-217-5757. In our remaining time with Kevin Fry, who unfortunately is leaving WAFB, but going back to Washington, D.C., where he will be a Capitol reporter, as in the big Capitol.
The domed building.
At the age of 24, one of the youngest people probably to ever get this kind of a gig.
It's extraordinarily exciting and rather intimidating. I will be completely honest about it, but I'm really excited to kind of start this new challenge. I think it'll be a great opportunity for growth, and I think I've been pretty well prepared during Louisiana politics, I have been told, are quite chaotic when it comes to national politics in terms of state level stuff. And so I think I've got a little bit of preparation under my belt after 3 years here and all the sessions.
And there's almost always a Louisiana connection.
This
almost
is true.
Always.
This
and,
is true.
We saw this with Stormy Daniels.
Yeah. Who saw that one coming, right?
From Baton Rouge, Louisiana, pride of Scotlandville Magnet High School. The former Stephanie Gregory Clifford is now, if anybody is giving our president headaches, it's probably Stormy Daniels.
And she doesn't seem to go away because she pops up at loves to be on television is what I have gathered. Admittedly,
very
I need
well-dressed man, too.
Admittedly, Jim, I need to start watching more of this because I have not watched a lot of cable news
You'll
in my time.
You'll probably be talking with Michael Avenatti. The only one who likes television cameras as much as he does, I think, is our junior U.S. Senator John Neely Kennedy.
Who always pops up with a comment in every regard.
And sometimes they're pretty good, but other times he leaves me shaking my head.
He is on the CBS Evening News, I think probably more so than most senators, especially freshmen.
That's right. And Jay Darden did the best John Kennedy impression I've ever seen at the Gridiron Show. Well,
that's
this
off
year.
The record, Jim. But yes, it is. Yes, he did. His impression. I was dying. His impression on the Gridiron Show was second to none. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was extraordinary.
Here's another Louisiana angle. An ex-private investigator sentenced to a year and a half in prison. This gentleman, Jordan Hamlet, who's all of 32 years old, a Lafayette,
yes.
He was trying to get President Trump's tax returns by hacking into a system that involved student loan records. I presume one of Trump's children applied for a student loan and had to give some financial information. But now Jordan Hamlet, who... sat down at the Embassy Suites here and told all these investigators exactly what he had done, and now they've put him in jail for a year and a half.
Might as well be honest about it.
Well, he was honest. He said he was nothing malicious about it. He thought he was doing a good deed.
And then there's the ongoing controversy over the tax returns and things of that nature. But yes, it's it always astounds me. There is no shortage of news here in Baton Rouge and in Louisiana writ large, I will say.
Well, if I were your boss in Washington, I'd tell you, Kevin, your first week on the job is to get the Trump tax return.
Yeah, I'll be the
legally,
one. I'll be the one to crack that code. Yes, exactly. Yes, let's not send me to federal court, please.
Well, I'm amazed that all these years later, and it's been what 3 years. Mm-hmm. President Trump, who said he would release those returns, he's not done so, and so far we've only gotten one page that Rachel Maddow got from a return that actually was quite favorable. That particular year, he paid a whole lot of taxes,
and I remember that night because I think I was at a Gridiron rehearsal and I saw that tweet come out that she was going to be releasing, or she had gotten a page of it, and then there was all this build up, and I was like, oh, all of this for a page from like a decade ago. But yeah, it is extraordinary that he has not released that, but then also there's the question of, should we be surprised at this point?
And another listener notes that there was a return produced that showed that Trump had a loss in 1 year of almost $1 billion, which he would be able to carry over and not
Correct.
Pay taxes for several years, which he probably didn't. So our erudite audience is once again on top of a major issue, and that is a major issue. But there's so many things with the president that... that it's hard to stick to one topic.
This is a pop quiz, Jim. a little bit, yes, to say the least. Every day seems to bring its own new adventure. And and then this morning we had the breaking news that the VA secretary nominee
Ronnie
has decided to he's not going to
now,
pursue. That's
I
a,
thought
that's
he
a
was,
can
yeah.
of worms that opened up very, very quickly.
I thought he was being rewarded for saying the president weighed 239 pounds in his physical. He did the same work for President Obama, by the way, and Obama's
Correct.
Last physical showed him at 175, which is probably accurate. Obama, his blood pressure was 110 over 68. I was looking at this. So talk about a cool guy. Probably going to live to be 150. And
I think my blood pressure might be better than that. But then again,
110
I'm not,
over 60.
Then again, I'm
if
not
it's better than that. It might be low.
Then I might be dying. but then again, I'm not president, so who knows?
Yeah, well, I would imagine the Donald has blood pressure a little bit higher, cholesterol a little higher, and of course he's significantly older than President Obama was.
Correct.
But we wish you well, and we'll be calling on you in Washington, D.C. Hopefully this will not be your last appearance on this program. I don't think it will. And,
I hope so.
Congratulations on almost three remarkable years at WAFB. Thank you, Kevin Fry.
Thank you, Jim. Call me anytime.
We'll do it. And if you've been thinking about donating and waiting for the right time, this is the last time for a while that we'll be asking for your contributions. We need about $5,000 more to shut this baby down for the Spring Member Fest, and if you contribute by 7 o'clock, you'll be entered into a drawing for a Florida getaway, 4 nights at the Sandestin Beach Resort, and you'll get the WRKF beautiful coffee mug if you contribute $13 a month, plus the WRKF light bulb key ring is a thank you gift, and the number is 855-893-9753. We'll be back with Fred Rosenfeld, president of the New Orleans Jazz back in the day, after this time out on WRKN. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757. And we're joined now by Fred Rosenfeld. He's a person well known in these parts. He managed the Sheraton, now the Crown Plaza, for a while. But before that, he came from Los Angeles, his hometown. moved to New Orleans, and as a young man was the president of the New Orleans Jazz, the first NBA team in the Crescent City. And in 1974, as president, he traded a lot of draft choices to get Pistol Pete Maravich back in Louisiana. And even though the Jazz never won a title, they certainly were the talk of the league, with Pistol Pete leading the league in scoring back in the year of 1977. And Fred Rosenfeld, we're still talking about Pete Maravich all these years later. He hasn't scored a basket at LSU in 48 years, but is the leading scorer in college basketball history, major college history. Averaged 44.2 points a game at Tigertown. And he died 30 years ago. A heart attack at the age of 40, died on the basketball court. What a rich legacy from a most complex man who you knew well.
Very complex. First of all, it wasn't a lot of draft choices. It was two. And we got one of them in a trade simultaneously. So it wasn't a lot. Also, 44 points a game without a three-point shot.
Without a three-point shot and with a shot, no shot clock. In other words, teams would hold the ball and try to stop him and stop LSU, and he still averaged 44 points a game.
Yeah, remarkable. The reason I wanted to talk about him was not basketball, and it was not the Jazz or LSU and his relationships with those two teams, the league or whatever, but I saw the Pete Maravich show on ESPN.
This recent documentary?
Yes, I saw it two times. And what struck me, and the reason I called you, is in the last part of the show, they talked about the last part of his life. And you know, Jim, I'm really not a religious person, full disclosure. But I've been around a lot of people. One of the benefits of being in the hotel business, being fairly visible and doing conventions, conferences, you get to meet people from all sorts of religions. You alluded to this with
Kevin.
When you know more people and hear more things, you're able to react, reflect, and appreciate, and the more exposure you have. And so I've always never been really religious myself. I respected the religions, just out of circumstances, whether it was here in Baton Rouge or in Alexandria. Mm-hmm. I knew most of the religious leaders pretty well.
Well, you're of the Jewish tradition.
Yeah, yeah.
And Pete Maravich was this wild child who found Christianity.
Yeah, that's
right.
And
it changed him.
It really did. You know, I hadn't seen him in almost 10 years. And when I was at the Sheraton, he came in. He was speaking here. And we sat down and talked. And the transition, the change was remarkable. Remarkable. And he attributed it to his religious affiliations, that he had gotten religion. And I've never been one to be skeptical about that. Whether you're religious or not, you don't have to be skeptical. And listening to him and seeing the change in him, just talking to him, and knowing his background, knowing his history, it was just something I wanted to explore with you, talk about. Because in Louisiana, you know, Kevin talked about it. When you come here from Pennsylvania or California, one thing that strikes you is how good the people are. And niceness is a way of life. And you never mistake being nice for being less than intelligent. And the religious people that I've found from every religion, I mean, from A to Z, have been really good people. And in talking to him about his life, about his evolution to where he was, and it was only a short time before he died, it hit me. And it was something I wanted to talk about. I wanted people to hear that no matter what's happened to you yesterday, tomorrow may be a different story. And his was built on religion.
Well, when you acquired him from Atlanta in 1974, he lost his mother to suicide. Yeah. He was filled with anger. And a lot of great athletes have that. That rage is actually something that probably helps them in athletics. In some cases, but at some point, all that went away. He married a woman who was very good to him and Jackie, and together they walked this new path in life, and he seemed to be content with what was happening in his world at the time of his death.
That's absolutely true, and I don't want to get into his history, controversial to some sort, and But the end, the end. And knowing that you can have that kind of evolution, that kind of change, and the effect you have on the people around you. Again, his was due to his religious conversion and his acceptance of the religion. And, you know, when you talk about either athletes or politicians, people in the public eye, no matter what happens, they get out of the public eye. When the game is over, when the legislative session is over, they're humans. Mm-hmm. And you know them well. You believe me, you know they're humans. They're no different than you or I or anybody else walking the street. And their problems are the same, magnified by the media, but no different except the magnification, the larger they seem, but they're not a lot different. And to find that solace in his religion was just something I'll never forget. And I just wanted people to hear it. I'm not a preacher, but I just thought it was a good story.
Well, you said he looked different. How did he look different?
Well, his demeanor was different. He wasn't defensive. He was conversational. He spoke. Things that really Pete hadn't done previously. And he was relaxed. He was confident in himself. You know, no matter how successful you are in those areas of life that involve the public attention, that doesn't mean you're confident at all in yourself. You may be able to score baskets, but it doesn't mean you're scoring baskets in life. I sound like a preacher, but you know.
Well, I think he said it. And you're saying it too, that when he had this amazing success as a basketball player, unprecedented success, he was not a happy man. And yet after all that went away, he found contentment.
That's right. That's right. You know, digress just a little bit. I was watching this kid Walters play, and I texted my son. I said, God, if he lasts 4 years, he's going to be an immortal. I read in the paper yesterday, he's thinking of going pro. You know, it's the one and out and, you know, that sort of thing. And these are just humans, you know. And these are kids. Goodness knows how they're affected by those things that they're not necessarily exposed to at 19 years old. Mm-hmm. It's just interesting. And my experience here, I really don't ever talk about this publicly because that's something you just talk about. But when I think about my relationships here in Baton Rouge and in Alexandria, with the religious leaders, whether it was, no matter what it is, all of them, names are unimportant.
You came, as I stated, from Los Angeles, which I think could be fairly stated as a secular city, a beautiful city. I love it, but much different than Louisiana, and yet you found peace here yourself. How did that come about?
Well, I don't want to say Louisiana is better. It's different. There's no question about it. My kids come, but my youngest son stayed here. He never left after going to LSU. It's different in that by being a people person, Jim, you don't have to be loud. A people person is not someone who necessarily screams and yells and is visible. A people person is someone who appreciates nice people, appreciates people. And my line, it was my line. Now, other people may have gotten it, but it was my line, as far as I know, is that niceness is a way of life in Louisiana. And it's not easy, it's not hard to get swallowed up by it and to appreciate it.
Well, after several years in Alexandria, we're glad you're back in Baton Rouge.
Now it's 25, 27.
In Alexandria,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, you went from Los Angeles to New Orleans to Baton Rouge to Alexandria. That's quite an odyssey. Usually goes the other way around.
You know, I told you before I got on the air you might cut me off, but I just want to tell you, I did 2 years of talk radio here in Baton Rouge and 25, 26 years up in Alexandria. You are the best I've heard. One, because you're fair, but the reason you're fair is you're so knowledgeable. It's hard to be knowledgeable if you don't know what the hell you're talking about, and it's hard to be fair. And listening to that interview just now, you know, it wasn't loud, it wasn't divisive, but it was interesting. It was interesting because you've got that way of, you've got a memory. People don't know his memory is supernatural. It really is. I don't know how you do it, but you've got a memory that's supernatural. which enables you to have these discussions that, in my opinion, not just in Louisiana, no, around the country that I listen to, that really has your skills. Well, so I've said it.
Well, thank you. I'm touched by your words, much too kind, but I appreciate them nonetheless. And thank you for inspiring me with your work in many areas. Talk about a guy who's a survivor. Fred Rosenfeld is one. And we'll be calling on you again soon. Certainly, when you talk like that, I want you back as often as possible. And a reminder that we'd like for you to contribute to WRKF, 855-893-9753. $5,000 to go. We need to hear from you, 855-893-9753. Thanks, Fred, and thanks for listening.
We'll be
back tomorrow. Stay tuned.
For a podcast of today's show, go to WRKF.org or find the Talk Louisiana podcast on the WRKF app. We welcome your feedback and topic suggestions. Email us at talk@talklouisiana.org. Talk Louisiana is a production of WRKF in Baton Rouge.